Hey everyone, welcome to This Lesbian Ship is Intense. I'm Katie.
And I'm V. And this episode is brought to you by Candlewick Press, publisher of The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea, the new YA fantasy novel by Maggie Takuda Hall.
What'd you think of the book, V?
You know very well that I'm obsessed with it. Yeah, I am still obsessed with it. Actually, I had mentioned in our last episode that I was really happy because this book actually prompted me to get back into reading. And I was a little hesitant that maybe like this was a one-off and like I wasn't going to actually like consistently read. But I've read like 5 books in the past month, which is crazy. And it all started with this book because it was just so good.
What's so great about it?
Well, you know, because you and I both care about WLW stories, and I imagine a lot of our listeners do, this book will totally hit on that. And it's not just a lesbian romance. There's also a lot of GNC, non-binary stuff going on. There's pirates, there's witches, there's mermaids, there's adventure. It's just like everything. And I just really think you should give it a shot.
You know how everybody was talking about how, like, they, like, that meme going around, like, when I was 12, like, me realizing I'm gay, and it's, like, pictures of Keira Knightley in Pirates of the Caribbean? Like, yeah. What more do you want than fucking gay pirates and mermaids and non-binary characters? Like, fuck yes! This is where to go, people!
Yes, and the two in a relationship are POC, and that just elevates it for me.
Okay, now we're going to keep on talking to you about Betty on HBO, and you all should give it a shot because it got picked up for season 2. I don't know if we talked about that yet or not, so I'm reminding you. So we're going to talk about episodes 3 and 4. The first episode that we're talking about is called Happy Birthday, Tyler, and it's written by Moshe Kosher. How do you think you say kosher?
I think that sounds good.
Okay. Listen, we're really sorry if we badger your name. We Googled how to say it, and the first video had Dick Cheney saying your name, and we don't trust him. So I hope I said it right. We start the episode with Honey Bear, Indigo, and Kurt at the diner following their little night together. And Kurt is reminded that it's Janae's birthday. And she says that she doesn't have the money to get her anything and asks for one of Indigo's weed pins. And Indigo realizes that she left them at the skate park. And Indigo and Honey Bear run off to find the pins, and Kurt offers to pay for the bill, but then she dines and dashes. I'm like, bitch, why did you offer if you couldn't pay for it?
Because she was paying for it for them, but paying for it in like a non-conventional way, as in she was dining and dashing, so they didn't have to pay either. Like, it works out. I see her logic. I was actually really impressed with her.
It's such good logic, but I'm like so against that I'm like annoyed, but I get that it happens when you're poor. So like,
yeah, I was like, how do I feel about dining and dashing? Do I care? I don't know. I need to think about that. Anyways,
I think it's because like it can really fuck people in the service industry over.
Yeah,
so it bothers me, but like I guess it depends on your circumstances. I remember in college, like I saw like a friend, an acquaintance, dine and dash, and like I knew that bitch had money, so I was like, don't go out to eat then.
Yeah.
Like, but anyway, it's for another day. And then Indigo and Honey Bear roll up on the boys at the skate park using her pins, and the boys are playing victim and they're acting like it's theirs and they're being douchebags. And Indigo's basically fucked because so much of her shit is gone.
The guy who's like, you're upsetting me and it sucks. Like, the guy who's like, you're ruining my high. I'm just like, you're ruining my life. I hate you. Like, I
you're
was so irritated.
You're ruining my high watching this show about women, bitch. Shut up.
Yes.
Honey Bear and Indigo are walking, and Honey Bear sees Ash and pulls Indigo back, and it's like, what do? I don't know what to do. And I'm like, oh my God, you haven't even talked to her yet, Honey Bear. But very relatable. I relate super hard to a honey bear throughout this episode and the next.
I do not think, no, I don't. I definitely don't. But like, I just thought it was really funny though, because when she went past her, I was like, she's gonna fucking ignore her. And I think that's so much more awkward. Like that shit, like, I don't understand. I'm the kind of awkward where like I will go up to you and say hello, and then like I will laugh about the fact that I'm being weird. But like, for me, ignoring someone and knowing that I'm ignoring them, that makes me feel so uncomfortable. And like, I don't know
Yeah.
how people can do that. Like, it's so, that makes me feel so much more awkward.
Oh yeah, on that part, I would be even more awkward, like, and acknowledge the awkwardness and make it really uncomfortable and like say hi to someone that wants me to ignore them before I would ignore them. So that part I relate to you on. But I just really loved like Indigo giving Honey Bear not helpful advice in this moment. 'Cause she's like, she's just a regular human being. Like, just be confident, be you. And it's like, that's not helping me. Like, but at the same time, it is true. Like, Honey Bear does have a lot of charm to her. And if she would just be herself, she'd be fine.
Yeah, the girl's too nervous. Too
But I also
nervous.
think it makes sense why Honey Bear just like avoided her, because it really does seem like Honey Bear does not like to deal with things that make her uncomfortable. She'd rather avoid them and do something different completely than like deal with it. And then we have Janae looking up the girl that has been accusing Donald of sexual assault. So that's kind of starting a running thing for her in this episode. She's on like Instagram and stuff trying to find her.
My lack of paying attention was like, I saw her on Instagram, but like, I guess I wasn't paying attention. So when Kurt shows up with like, the balloons and is like, what are we gonna do for your birthday? Or I don't know if she suggested something, but I know that like Janae says, like, let's go get our nails done. I didn't process that she was stalking until like a couple of like other spots later.
But maybe that's why they do a lot of subtle things in the show. Like maybe that was on purpose because you're not supposed to pick it up right away. And I just love that Kurt has a Happy Birthday Tyler balloon because that's something my friends and I would do totally. But Kurt definitely stole it and didn't just find it funny and buy it for her.
Yeah, I think Janae was like, who's Tyler? And she's like, some kid who doesn't have a balloon now. Duh.
And then they go get their nails done. And at the salon, I just like really love this whole interaction with Kurt, where Kurt was like, keep my nails short on these fingers. And the nail tech like rolls her eyes at Kurt being obnoxious because she is. And Kurt's like, dude, that's kind of homophobic. And then the nail tech's like, fuck you, I'm gay too. And then Kurt just like flirts with her.
I wish I could like be like Kurt. Like just like go with the flow. Flirt with whoever I want. I mean, I guess I do flirt with whoever I want, but in a very different way.
Yeah, I really like how they portray Kurt, like very flirty and obviously into women and like going for it. But it's not this like creepy predatory thing that a lot of shows do. And like, this is why I was saying, like, in a lot of ways, like, I don't relate to Kurt, but in a lot of ways, like, I really love having that character because I really like how they portray her sexuality on the show. Because I feel like if I would have seen something like that growing up, I would have a lot less like inhibitions about stuff like that and be like, more confident, you know? Because I think a lot of people that are attracted to women have this fear of being predatory. And Janae has like the nail tech holding her phone up to her face and it's like scrolling with her nose.
Forgot about that.
And I love how Kurt is like, damn, you are addicted to your phone. Like, what the hell? Because like it's obnoxious enough, like where you have to call it out if your friend is doing that.
Oh, yeah, I love a lot of those like interactions where it's just like it's so simple. Like, I just feel like were that me, I'd be like, what are you doing? But like Kurt doesn't question it. It's just humorous. It's just so fun.
I mean, Kurt is clearly misguided, but I did love this moment where Janae is like, oh, some girl's just talking shit. And Kurt's like, Not on your birthday, bitch. Like, let's go. And in a way, like, I like Kurt obviously has to learn things throughout these next few episodes, but I do really appreciate her loyalty to her friends. I just really enjoy like that being a motivating factor for someone, like being down with their girls or whatever.
I mean, I know we haven't jumped to this spot yet, but like when they go to the bubble tea place and where like Janae like admits what she's doing because she just kind of keeps bouncing around, and when Kurt's just like, "Let's go get that bitch." And she's like, "But like bubble tea first." Like it's just comedic, it's hilarious, it's solidarity. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. She's like, okay, we're down. Like, I just need to get a mango one first. Like, because mango's really good. And I'm like, that's so true. You need to hydrate. Like, enjoy yourselves and defend your girls at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And then we have Honey Bear at like the grocery store, and she's just there to get a water. But then she sees Camille. So then she gets a ton of shit. And it's like vibing, and then goes through the checkout, Camille's checkout, and Camille is trying to play it cool with Honey Bear, and it's like, I just didn't mean anything. I had other plans with Philip and the guys. Like, don't take it seriously. And Honey Bear's like, we have no beef. It's like, it's I can't speak for everybody, but you know, we're cool. And then after the checkout, Honey Bear's like, oh, I just want the water. And then Camille's like, really? That's all you want? And Honey Bear's like, yep. And then at that point, Camille kind of understands, I think, more how the girls feel and gives Honey Bear the water for free.
I was, again, I was like, what the fuck is Honey Bear doing getting all this shit? I was real confused. And then I saw Camille and I was like, oh, she's gonna fuck with her. And so then, like, as Camille, and again, like, I can't do this shit. As Camille's just blathering on about, like, making excuses and reasons as to why she did what she did, and you're not mad at me, are you? Honey Bear's just there quiet, just listening, not saying shit. And I feel like there's so much power in just being quiet sometimes, and I cannot do that a lot. And so, like, then at the very end, to be like, "No, I just want the water," and it's like, you're fucked. Like, you have all this shit that you have to like un like, you know, cancel out or and then like put away probably. I don't know. I just like was really happy, and I just like felt like I saw some of Honey Bear's like attitude and strength and shit.
Yeah, I think it just really shows like how she operates and how her brain works. And I like how she like always confronts an issue with her friends, but does it in her own way. You know what I mean? And she always gets her point across, really. Like she never the way she approaches things, people always listen because she's not really the most like loquacious person like I am and you are. And so there's power in that. I wish I could take some tips. I'm not too great at that. And then we have Bambi like filming shit at the park, and this dude is like bitching about something. So then he asks Camille to hop in. And then we have this kind of whole moment where Camille and Bambi are vibing, and Camille is like feeling really good about herself, and she's getting respect from some of the other dudes. But then when they compliment her, Camille plays it off as like cute girls just get more views. And then Bambi pulls her aside and is like, I film you because you're good, not because you're cute or whatever. And I thought this whole thing was like very interesting because it's talking about like the socialization that girls do to like downplay themselves to guys. And also like it's I don't know if it's clear here to everybody or maybe like just to lesbians, I don't know. But like I could clearly tell that like Bambi was manipulating her a little bit because I think Camille took that as like he was actually into her, but he wasn't.
this like irritated me because like I couldn't tell how to read Bambi. So like when Camille says like, oh, you know, cute girls get more clicks, like I just felt like she was joking around with the guys. And then like for Bambi to like intentionally pull her aside to say this thing, I was like, you know, that's like the, you know, quote unquote correct thing to say, because like, yeah, I'm hoping that you're recording her because she's talented and not just because she's cute. But like he also still doesn't feel authentic to me. So I was like really confused by how they were trying to portray him, because I thought they were trying to portray him as a good guy, but he kept like pinging for me as not. So I just kind of got like a gross vibe.
Bambi's just a user that uses people. So it's like, it's not even that I think he was like really leading Camille on, but at the same time, like a lot of the stuff she was doing with him obviously showed an interest in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he definitely was leading her on. And I like,
oh, yeah.
I like that they play the nuance of it. Like, yeah, things aren't like very clear and obviously stated, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. You know what I mean? And then we have Janae and Kurt running into Indigo and Honey Bear at the park. Kurt calls them for backup because Kurt thinks they're going to like confront this girl. But Honey Bear and Indigo are like, isn't it your birthday? Like, aren't we going to celebrate?
I don't remember this.
They go to that bomb ass dance party in the park where they're like hula hooping and smoking and stuff.
Oh, looking for the girl smoking. Okay, yeah, I do remember.
I just had this moment when I was watching it, the show's The State of the World right now, where this like older man was dancing and he had a purple beard, but I was like, why do you have a mask around your chin?
Oh my god.
And like for a shit moment I was like, haha, he has a mask on his chin, if only he knew. But then I was like, oh fuck, that's a purple beard.
Yeah, the amount of times I'm watching shit and I'm just like, you're way too close to that other person. Did you guys just share food? Like, there's just so much shit that I watch now that I'm like freaking out about, and I'm like, oh, this is a pre-COVID world.
And then Kurt just like finds this woman and starts dancing with her, and I'm like, you can just, like, tell, like, in any scene that the girl would be into you. Like, mad respect for that.
Kurt's just always going to shoot her shot. Just always.
She's going to shoot her shot and be cool with it. I wish I could. And Janae is, like, on her phone the entire time still. And Indigo and Honey Bear, like, kind of pull her to the side and get her to have a little bit fun on her birthday.
Yeah.
Janae is like the worst birthday ever because of this.
Oh, I know. She was just like obsessed. Like she could not.
And then we just have like a little scene with Camille and Bambi talking about Camille's style. And this is where she says that her fashion icon is Charlie Chaplin.
Yep. And I actually really enjoyed it because I was like, oh, I can see it. And I was like, I like your style, Camille.
Yeah, I told you. My sister's obsessed with Camille style. And then we just have, like, some beautiful cinematography of the crew as they're skating through the streets of New York. It's just a really beautiful show to watch, in my opinion. And then they roll up to this bar, and Indigo runs into Farouk, and Kurt runs into the girl she was dancing with at the park. And then we have a little, I just, like, really like how this is set up. Like, it's very true to real life, how when you're at, like, a bar and you have, like, multiple friends, you, like, just hop to all these little conversations and get bits and pieces of it because you want to socialize with everyone. So it kind of, I like how it kind of feels like you're in attendance at this party and you're just, like, checking in with all your friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like, this conversation is just reminding me, I was like trying to remember, because I just was talking to my wife about how it's awkward when you go out and hang out with like someone. I think I was watching like a matchmaking show, and I was like, it's so awkward when you're like sitting there and talking to someone like on this like date, and like you have no one else to go and bounce to, because like all of my dating experiences were at the bar, like at a lesbian bar, and so like a lot of my friends were there, so it's just like, oh, if I'm tired of this conversation, I'm just gonna kind of like go to the next set of people. And when I get tired of that conversation, I just mosey over to the next set of people. And it's like, you're not isolated to that. And I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. They do depict the bar scene like that, where they're at the party. And I do love it because you're just bouncing around.
And then we have a really nice conversation between Janae and Honey Bear, where they're talking about Donald. And this part is when I was really, like, personally very frustrated with Janae. And I was starting to get very scared about how the storyline was going. Even though I love the evolution of it. But Janae is really going hard for Donald here and saying, like, he didn't do it. She would know. She dated him. And she starts, like, talking shit about Yvette, the woman who's accusing Donald. And, like, calling her, like, a thought and stuff. And Honey Bear calls her out on it and's like, who do you think you are calling her that? You don't know her side of the story.
Yeah, I mean, Janae says she's a thought with her titties out. And Honey Bear's like me. And she's like, no, that's different. And, like, that is a hypocrisy that you see all the time for people, where they call people out on shit. And it's, like, it's acceptable when it's people that they care about, but it's not acceptable when, like, just the way that we use things as reasons to justify fucked up behavior, fucked up thoughts. It's just really infuriating. And so, like, I think the time where I was really frustrated with Janae, because I was like, what the fuck, Janae? Like, you're here with Kurt trying to do, like, an all-girl sesh. I believed that you cared about feminism and women supporting women and women believing women.
I really like that they show Janae doing this, because it is something that a lot of us fall victim to. And in moments of frustration, you start to lash out at other people and blame them for things that might not be their fault, just because you want someone to blame. And it's important that we hold our friends accountable in the moment. And I really liked Honey Bear being like, Janae, like, you really need to take a step back here and try to get a bigger picture. She wasn't like, she loves Janae and cares about Janae. Like, it wasn't anything malicious. It was just like holding your friend accountable because you care about them. You know what I mean? And then Kurt sees the girl at the park again. And I love this, even this little conversation where they're talking about their fucking zodiac signs. Like, accurate. That's what I talk to about everyone when I meet. I want to know your zodiac sign.
Oh, yes.
And I start analyzing things about you, and we just have a good time talking about it. If people are into the zodiac, then I have to do a lot of legwork on my own. and then I just really love this little bit where Honey Bear's talking to this random chick, and the girl's like, I'm trying to cut back on weed. I'm, like, really getting into the herbs, and, like, I've been having these, like, lucid dreams. And I just thought, like, the talk in this episode was really funny, because I've been watching, like, on Netflix, The Business of Doing Drugs or something before I go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And there's a whole episode on, like, synthetic drugs.
Yeah.
So, like, the next one, like, Indigo and Farouk are talking about the weed missing. And Indigo's like, can't you just, like, get oregano and spray some oil on it and it's fine or whatever? And Farouk's like, nobody wants to smoke pizza, man. Like, it's got a flavor. But they, like, fucking talk about how they do spice. And it's, like, literally just spices, and they spray it with shit, and then people can get really sick. Like, don't do spice, kids. And then Indigo and Farouk are talking, and he's, like, trying to make Indigo scared of his overseer named Carl, who is very vicious and dangerous, and made a guy go insane with a super soaker of acid.
Oh, I forgot about that story. Yeah, that's right. That's the story.
Farouk is pretty comical. I really enjoy his and Indigo's relationship.
Oh my god, I do. I really love the two of them. And I love Farouk, period.
Yeah, I think he's kind of like this weird older brother father figure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Camille and Bambi are walking and talking, and I really like these conversations. I just really enjoy. She's like, I saw a car the other day and it looked like you. And he's like, really? She's like, yeah, you know how cars look like you? And he's like, what are you talking about? And she's like, it was a Nissan Cube. And I found that so funny because I was like, he does look like a Nissan Cube.
I don't know that I thought that. But also, I don't pay enough attention to cars. I mean, like, I think I know what a Nissan Cube looks like. It's a very specific vehicle.
And I just really enjoyed the complete awkwardness about it because, like, when you don't know what to say to people, sometimes you say the weirdest shit, you know? Like, you look like a car. Like, that's flirting to Camille. Like, you look like a Nissan Cube, man. Like,
She's trying, okay.
she's trying so hard. But then he blows her off and's like, we'll meet up later. I have to shower. And, like, it's at that moment where you really can tell he's leading her on because, like, why would you have her walk to your house and not hang out with her?
Yeah, I definitely, when he said he was gonna go in and take a shower, I was like, you're full of shit. You're not coming back out. You're not to hang out with her, at least.
Right? Who does that? And then Indigo goes to her wealthy mom and begs for $3,000. And her mom is like, what do you need this time? You need to go to, I don't remember what festival it was, like Bonnaroo? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't know. All I remember is the mom also mentions that she gets an allowance of $350 a week. And I was like, damn, fuck, I didn't get allowance at all. I didn't get
I did
shit.
not get an allowance. I'm like, do you want to come pay my power bill? And you could also pay my fucking car payment for me. Like, her allowance could pay a couple of my bills.
I'm like, do you know what we could do in this house with your money?
Oh, God, I wish I had an allowance right now. I'm in quarantine. All I want to do is buy shit for my house since I'm in my house constantly.
Yeah, I'm literally taking off a week next month so that I can work on painting and like remodeling parts of the house because I'm like, well, shit, if I have to fucking be here all the time, I need to not be annoyed.
It's a real struggle. And then her mom's like, what do you need this time? And then she goes, I have a drug debt. I'm like, the fact that you can say that to your mom. But then again, her mom is like, okay, go get a job then. Goodbye.
Oh man, I'm curious. I am intrigued about their relationship now that I've seen episode six. But we'll get to that in episode six.
But Indigo takes her mom's checkbook and writes a cash check for 3K. And I'm like, girl, you are going to get murdered by your mother.
Oh God.
My mom, I would never do that to my mom, but she would kill me if I ever did something like that to her.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I can't even imagine doing something like that to my mom. So I can't imagine a reaction because there's no world in which I would ever do that to my mother.
I think there's also a wealth thing here. Like, Indigo has
Oh,
grown
yeah.
up with money. Obviously, we didn't. So, like,
Yeah.
the thought of stealing 3K from our parents is, like, absurd, you know?
Shit, I never even took $5 out of her purse. Like, none of
I
that.
never took a single dime. I asked for everything I got.
Exactly.
And I got told no a lot. Honey Bear makes Camille pretend to be her friend to introduce her to Ash. And Ash is like, hey, why did you avoid me earlier? And why did your friend yell I'm gay at you? Like, that was kind of weird, right?
Fucking Honey Bear. Honey Bear's like, that wasn't me. I didn't see you. I didn't run into you. Nope. I'm like, how do you do that with a straight face? I
Well, she
don't know how people
was
do
kind of charming
that.
about it, I thought. Like, with her eyes, she was just like, yeah, about that. I'm cute. Like, let's pretend that didn't happen.
I would agree. I think like at first she was like, no. And then when Ash was like, really? You know, and like she's like, girl, I know it was you. Then Honey Bear started doing the cutesy thing, and that's cool, but like I don't know how people like, because that's like some shit my wife would pull. Like my wife could like Honey Bear like could lie to your face and be like, no, I didn't see you. And like for me, like I can't do that shit. I can't lie about like anything really.
Yeah, I'm pretty awkward myself about that. But I think it worked because you could tell that Ash is clearly into Honey Bear too. And like,
Yeah.
Honey Bear got that vibe. And let me just say, like, they're so fucking cute. And like, Ash is really attractive. And I was like, oh my fucking God, Layla, what we could have had. I would have been fine if you stayed in the picture after what we got After that, I'm speaking about the bold type, obviously.
It's really funny because a lot of my notes are just like Layla until I finally acknowledge she's a different person. And I mean, obviously, I like her more in this for a variety of reasons, but I also just really enjoy her like skater vibe and like her pigtails and like the curly
She's
hair.
pretty sexy. Like, she had a really sexy moment with Kat on the bold type, and she's living up to that in this show. And they are like, oh, let's grab a drink together. And then Janae goes off and starts yelling at who she thinks is Yvette, but it's actually a lookalike. It's her twin. And I really fucking enjoyed this moment as a twin because when my sister and I went to the same college, so we lived in the same place, but that was the first time in our life where we would meet people that like didn't know we were twins. And like, I would randomly have people on the bus stop like sit down and start talking to me, like they knew who I was. And which is very strange because, like, even though we are identical twins, we don't look that much alike, really. Like, I just showed my, I like had longer hair then, but still, like, we're not that much alike. So it was very strange for me. It's a thing that happens, okay? I really appreciated my representation in this moment.
That's hilarious. I mean, that makes sense.
And it's very strange because, like growing up with people that knew both of us, like we were used to constantly focusing on like how we were different from each other. But when we like go meet each other's like friends and stuff now, when we don't live near each other, people are always pointing out things that are the same about us. And we're not used to that at all. We're like, oh my God, I never even knew that. Because the friends that know both of us don't pay attention to what's the same. You know what I mean? So I thought I really enjoyed the twin relationships here. But then Yvette pops up and is like, why are you stalking me? And Janae starts yelling at her, like, stop talking shit about Donald. And Yvette's like, you need to go after your boy and his hands then. And things are getting serious. And Honey Bear is like, I have to go be help my friend out. Sorry, Ash. And Ash writes her number on Honey Bear's skateboard. And I'm like, what a fucking move without you leave your number with someone. You're like, here, let me write it on your skateboard.
I'd be so scared that they would be pissed that I wrote on their board. So yeah, props to her for the confidence to just be like, let me write on your skateboard.
And then I just really like this small detail. Like, a boy tries to intervene in their fight, and like, they all turn around and yell at him and get mad at him for invading their space. Like, is that your problem? But then, of course, Kurt shows up and is really ready to go to defend Janae. But the douchebag yells at Kurt to grab her tit and, like, severely fucked up there, dude. And I really like though that display of like subtle like sexual harassment. And then Kurt escalates at that point and starts getting physical and throws her skateboard through a window.
Things escalated. I mean, when this first happened, I was happy like that Kurt jumped in because I think that's just kind of the person that I am. Like, I would like my friends to have that kind of loyalty, and I do have that kind of loyalty to my people. And I do feel bad because I don't think that like Kurt threw her board like because she was like it was an accident. Like it got out of hand, and it just freaking kills me though. Like, so it goes out of hand, and everyone fucking starts running because like of the sirens, and I feel like that is a very, natural response. You know, a threat is coming, you run away from it. But then you see the ones who do not run away, and Honey Bear says, she's like, I can't run. You know what they do. And she just gets ready for the police to arrive. And I really appreciated the show kind of showing the two ways in which people can react to the same situation because our circumstances impact the way that we respond because we know that the outcomes are different for us depending on who we are.
Yeah, and I like that the conversation truly starts before the cops show up. Because Kurt, even though everything she did was just out of like her love for her friends, and it was all an accident. She's also careless about her surroundings and who she's picking fights with and who's present and what could be the consequences of her actions. And she's able to do that in a way like Janae isn't able to do. And I really like that that conversation is kind of starting there. And then it escalates, obviously, when the cops show up. And I think it's kind of interesting that Camille is gets like brought into this conversation because I hope it's addressed in the second season more. But you know, Camille's Latina, and it's a heavy part of Skate Kitchen. And you know, she's obviously white passing, so you know, her instinct is to run. But she also kind of gets caught up in the system with Janae and Honey Bear. And I thought that was an interesting nuance where, like, Kurt runs, Camille thinks to run, but ends up staying with Honey Bear and Janae. And obviously, Honey Bear and Janae know that they can't run from the cops.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's a really great nuance. And I do wonder if they will explore more of Camille's background in season two, which I do think would be beneficial because I did not realize, I don't remember when I realized that she was Latina. I know that she spoke Spanish at some point, but like,
In the first episode, she does.
yeah, and I guess I don't know if that was like enough of a clue for me that she was in fact Latina because like I mean she could just speak Spanish. She could have learned taken classes. I don't know. Also, she didn't sound like a native speaker, so like I didn't know. So I think it'd be interesting if they explored that more.
Yeah, and I have a lot to say about that with how Kurt, I mean, Camille and Indigo's stories intertwine because there's some interesting stuff there in the show versus the movie, but we'll talk about that in the final episode. So we're gonna take a quick break before we jump into episode four. We'll be right back. So we want to talk about a podcast on our podcast network. Take a listen to the Dinner Sisters podcast. It's a fresh take on dinner. Every week, sisters Kate and Betsy search out and compare notes on recipes and talk about it. And honestly, as someone who has done a lot of cooking and exploration during quarantine, this is the podcast for me because I love exploring new recipes, talking about what did and didn't work. And it's a really good time, and you get to learn new stuff.
Let's listen to them.
Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Betsy. We're the Dinner Sisters, two sisters taking on the nightly challenge of dinner. Every week, we test and review three recipes from all over the internet. We post new episodes every Sunday to give you some dinner inspiration.
One of our favorite things about podcasting is being together as sisters. Here's a clip about our relationship and a little bit about food.
I bake it, I pull it out to the table, and I take it off. And Brian's like, "Is that fish not gutted? What is going on?" Yes, so I had not gutted the fish.
Had there not been fish guts all over the place, I think your kids would have thought it was cool.
If you'd like to join us for dinner, you can find us at www.dinnersisters.com, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll save a spot at the table for you.
Okay, so we're back and we're going to talk about episode four. It's called The Tombs and it was written by Britta Lundin. So we start the episode with Indigo calling Kurt and is like, "Where are you?" And Kurt's like, "We ran away from the cops. It was crazy." And Indigo's like, "Everybody got arrested. Like, where are you?" And Kurt jumped up to hide from the cops on like the roof or whatever and hid from them there. And I was like, that's actually very smart.
Yeah, I never thought about it. She's like, Popo never looks up. And I was like, huh, that's, yeah.
And then we have Honey Bear, Camille, and Janae in a jail cell. They're like in a holding cell because there's several people in there.
Yeah.
And Camille is anxious about being in there, and Camille asked Janae why she picked a fight, and Janae was like, I was fine. Kurt was the one that went wild and escalated that whole situation. And there's this older woman in there who yells at them and it's like, I'm trying to sleep, leave me alone. And then there's the drunk girls in the corner being annoying, and it's the epitome of chaos in that whole Excel.
I think my biggest thing in this is I was just like, there is someone who is telling you to shut up in a holding cell. Shut the fuck up. I was like, stop talking.
I was like, you are pushing your luck here. But they start arguing about what happened at Winter Ball. And then the woman yells at them and is like, your girl is freaking out right now. What is wrong with you fighting over something stupid? And Honey Bear is very shaken up and is saying that she can't get in trouble. Her dad will be very upset with her. And that gets Janae and Camille to have a little bit of a reality check.
I'm definitely very interested in Honey Bear's background. Like, I'd like to know what factors are in play here that have her so, like, hiding who she is and what has her so terrified of her family finding out.
Yeah, Honey Bear obviously has some cultural things from her family that are influencing her fear in this situation and some future situations. So I'm very interested in that. But I also really love the depiction of this woman. I wish I knew a name to call her by. But I just think it's really interesting that they're showing this level of complexity in like 10 minutes of an episode. You know what I mean? And showing so many layers to different people in this holding cell. Because, you know, as a person that has, like, worked in correctional settings and worked in, like, homeless shelters, people do have, like, a fear of working with folks in these situations. And I think it's really unwarranted. But, you know, I have been exposed to it. I'm used to interacting in those situations, whereas a lot of people aren't. So maybe that fear leads them to have these preconceived notions. So I like this humanizing aspect for audiences that might not have that same exposure. And then Camille gets one phone call and she calls fucking Bambi of all people. Like, why are you fucking calling Bambi? And Bambi is a bitch, obviously. And it's like, just, oh my God, I can't believe you got arrested. Yeah, I'll handle it. But then he's obviously talking to another girl and Camille is oblivious to that.
I kind of have to laugh because, like, I did not process at all that he was with another woman. Totally missed that.
Yeah, he did. But, like, see, this is a thing where you know he's leading her on, because he should have just said he ended up hooking up with a girl if he thought they were just friends. You know what I mean? Like, because he says on the phone, like, don't go anywhere. And Camille's like, I'm here. Like, I'm in jail. I'm not going anywhere. So he's obviously talking to, like, another girl. You know what I mean?
I mean, he shouldn't have let her on. I was actually really shocked when he said, like, stay put, I'll go get you. Because I was like, what? I can't believe that he's going to do that. And I thought that this was, like, still where I'm like, is he supposed to be someone that I'm rooting for or not? Is he good? Is he a shithead? I don't know. And then, of course, he's a shithead.
Kurt fighting out that it's going to be $1,000 a person to get them out of jail. And they're trying to brainstorm about how to get them out. That's Kurt and Indigo. And Kurt suggests selling edibles. And Indigo's like, shut the fuck up. We're in the precinct right now. You can't just say that so loudly. And this is, like, really starting to get into, like, Kurt's privilege and being unaware about her surroundings and what she can and can't say. And Indigo realizes here that she's going to have to use the $3,000 she stole from her mom to get them out of jail instead of paying off her weed debt to Farouk.
I know, it's so crazy how oblivious Kurt is, and I can't tell if it's because, I don't know, she has such a stoner vibe to her, or if it's her white privilege, and maybe it's a combination of both, but like, yeah, her heart's in a good place where she's like, how do we deal with this? But she's not thinking about the fact that, like, dude, you're in a fucking police station right now.
So Honey Bear has to pee, but she says she can't do it in public. And Camille is apologizing and acknowledging that she fucked up about Winterbald to Janae. And I appreciated that moment where they have Camille actually apologize. I think it's important to show people like genuinely apologizing for their actions. And I like that they regularly do that in the show. And then we have Janae and Camille trying to block Honey Bear while she pees. And they're talking to the drunk girls about the situation with Donald. I just really like this whole conversation, number one, because you totally have conversations with drunk girls at the bathroom at bars. So I really liked this like switch of them talking at the toilet in the jail cell.
Oh my God, I actually really loved that because exactly, I just feel like drunk times in a restroom with women is just magical.
They talk about, like, maybe you should hear this girl out, Janae. Like, and Janae is like, he's a good guy, though. And then they say, there's a lot of good guys with dirty dicks. And they are chatting about, like, narrow situations that they've had in their life. And I just really liked that conversation. And maybe having Janae get some exposure from people who weren't her friends was what she needed to start really thinking about, like her own experiences, to know that she needed to talk to Yvette.
It really takes someone who is not a part of the situation to allow you to consider what's happening here. I don't know what it is about that, but I do think that it's because they weren't her friends that she was able to listen to them. And I think that that's really important. And I really enjoyed them. And I also really loved that woman who, when Honey Bear is struggling to pee, she just like comes over and is like, let me help block you. Let me soothe you. Like, let me help you. And it was just so loving and comforting. And I think kind of speaking to your point where people make assumptions about people who get arrested, about people who would be in holding cell, people who go to jail, blah, 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 that people are complex and they're made up of much more than a singular situation or event. And so seeing her compassion and care for Honey Bear was really heartwarming for me.
Yeah, but it's also like how she talks to her. It's super comforting and warm. Where she's like, it's okay, baby girl. Like, just think about the ocean and relax. And like, she tells the other girls to like, shut the fuck up and like, give Honey Bear this like, peaceful moment. And it works. And it was just like, so beautiful. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm like, oh, this is beautiful about someone.
There are heartwarming moments like, all the time, Katie.
So then I really like, this is like a really great conversation about white privilege that they're having about Kurt in these next couple episodes. So Kurt is playing Uno with a woman named Esther. And she talks about how this, I don't know if she was talking about like a partner or a son, but she talks about how like that person was just like taken by the police. And Kurt is obviously like very empathetic and is like, that's fucked up. I don't get how police think they can just do shit like that. So we have this, we're like establishing like Kurt really cares and she's empathetic towards people, but she's also not aware of her own reality in the world. And I think that's a really nuanced story that they're telling here about her.
I mean, I agree in that Kurt does care. She is a friendly person. She's a social person. She's very loyal. But I do just think that she's a bit ignorant about the world at large especially for non-white people. So I do like the story they tell with her.
And so Indigo shows up. They're able to bail the girls out. And Kurt, Indigo, Janae, and Honey Bear meet up. And Kurt is just trying to make this, like, this wild story that they had, like, the best day of her life. She even says, that was the best day of my life. And then Janae is super upset with her. And she's like, Kurt, like, you are so volatile. Like, you escalated that situation way more than it needed to. And Kurt starts to defend herself and was like, I'm just being down for my girls. What's wrong about that? You know, I was just lucky in the situation. And Honey Bear says, no, Kurt, you're white. And Kurt gets upset about this and says, would you rather I got arrested too? And Indigo, Janae, and Honey Bear, who are all black women, say yes. And I really liked the dichotomy of this conversation. And Kurt ditches, and then the three other girls go to get food.
I really liked how this went down because I think that it is realistic for Kurt to be like, oh my God, look at this really crazy story that we have to tell. And I mean, she's not the one who had to sit in a holding cell and freak out. And she was able to run because she doesn't have to think about the things that the other women had to think of. And so I just really appreciate that the girls call her out and they're like, nah, dude, it's not luck. It's your white privilege that allowed you to run, whereas we had to stay. And I thought it was really funny, but also still realistic, where she's like, what would you have had happen? Like, for me to get caught? Yeah, bitch. Yeah. Let's all be in this together. And I think probably what I most appreciate about this is that although Kurt is upset about this, the girls don't allow that to affect and ruin their night. Like, they're the ones who just got out of a holding cell. They're the ones who just had to deal with all this bullshit. And if they're being upset about that is offensive to Kurt, she can go and figure that shit out on her own, because they're going to go about their day and they're going to go and get that food and they're not going to let that ruin their day for them. And I just really appreciate that, because I think that a lot of times when a white person feels offended by a person of color expressing their frustrations with the racist system that we live in, that then you can start to feel guilty for expressing that. And I'm glad that the girls don't do that.
Janae might have felt like she was in control of the situation, you know what I mean? And it would have never gotten to that point where they got arrested if Kurt didn't come in to back her up. But I also, you know, you can sympathize with Kurt in a way, because you do relate to that feeling of, like, wanting to protect the people that you love. But, you know, Kurt really never fully understood the situation to begin with. She was just ready to fight at any given moment. And maybe if Kurt took the time to understand what was actually going on, she would have known to step back a little bit. And so I think that's kind of what they're also exploring, like, it's not just Kurt being more aware and realizing her privilege. It's also Kurt taking the time to fully understand the situation before she moves to this very, like, angry, volatile, aggressive state. Because there needs to be a little bit more nuance in how she approaches situations. And then we have Camille in the jail, and she's, like, resting on the woman's shoulder that we've been talking about. And it's just so precious. It's the last sight we get of this woman. And I'm like, how can we bail her out? Like, she needs to be free, too. But she leaves, and there's no Bambi in sight, which we all knew was coming. And then we have a scene where they're kind of, like, catching up on life after they get out. Honey Bear calls her dad and makes up some excuse and texts Ash to meet up. Janae ignores a call from Donald. And then Indigo goes to talk to Farouk. And they're on the phone. And Farouk is like, I need the money, Indigo. And he slams his foot in the car door, which... you had to have broken your foot if you did that. I slammed the tip of my finger in the car before, and I didn't break my finger, but I swear to God, I thought I did. That was one of the most painful things. Camille shows up at the park and sees Bambi and asks him how much he owes him for bailing her out, and he clearly forgot and plays it off like he left her in jail, but it's cool because she's resourceful and she figured it out. I'm like, no, bitch. That is horrible.
I just can't freaking believe it. Like, how are you going to say to someone like, oh, yeah, I got you, and then not go get them? Like, that's so fucked up. You were her one call that she made, which also Camille, why him? Anyways, that's such shittiness. I just wish he would have just been real and just been like, nah, dude, I don't have the money. I'm sleeping, whatever it may be. But like, oh, I forgot you. Ha ha. That's not funny.
And then Honey Bear meets up with Ash and they go on their little date. And I love the cinematography. I love the score. I love how they do like voiceovers of their conversation and show just like glimpses of them interacting through the voiceover. It like really creates a sense of like intimacy and this bubble around them where you feel like they're in their own world. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's way too intimate for me. I can't handle it. You know this.
But that's what was so amazing about it to me. It was like the sense of, it like feels like you're intruding.
It 100% feels like you're intruding, which is why I cannot handle it. It's like there are just some things on television that are too intimate for me that just make me really uncomfortable, like that. And when people sing on television, like that's really hard for me. I love that
people just singing on television is included. And the thing is like prolonged eye contact where you like feel like you're seeing into somebody's soul sometimes. Like if you think about the fact that this show is only 6 episodes and the amount of detail they're able to accomplish in their storytelling and how each character gets such a distinct story arc in 6 30-minute episodes. It's actually really impressive to me that they can establish this like intimate connection between Honey Bear and Ash in like a few minutes. But they talk about what they're into, and Ash talks about how she's in school and into music production. And then we find out, and one of the most precious things, Honey Bear Googled Ash and found her old Tumblr and saw she was into Fall Out Boy. So she drew Ash as like a member of Fall Out Boy.
That is very sweet of Honey Bear to have done her research and to gift her something. But again, this is too much for me. It's too much interest. It's too much time and care for someone that we've just started hanging out with for me.
You know, the sentimental person in me loves this. And then I just love this like awkwardness but sweetness where Ash is like, oh, I loved them when I was like 12. And then I'm like, oh no, like you just told me you were into EDM. Like, I should not have done this. Like, I fucked up. And then Ash is like, no, this is one of the best gifts that I've ever gotten. I just thought that was precious. And then Ash is like putting glitter on her face and asking Honey Bear if she wants to be a filmmaker because she's always filming things. And Honey Bear says that the thing about filming people is that they'll say things to the camera that they wouldn't say to your face. And then Ash steals the camera and says, what do you want to say, Honey Bear?
Okay, I absolutely love this part though, because it's so clear that she's saying that she's interested in Honey Bear and wants to know more about her and who she is. And there's just something about her taking the camera and flipping it around on her that I absolutely adored this part of their date.
And I really like that insight you kind of get into Honey Bear. It really explains a lot of who she is because she lives like kind of in two separate worlds, one where she feels like she's truly herself and the one she lives with her family. And so it kind of makes sense that it's hard for her to open up and trust people and that she would really attach to getting to know the real people through her camera that she doesn't see in real life. Like, there's a lot of nuance to how she interacts with people in the small explanation of her, and I appreciated that. And I also like that they just show characters with like so many different interests. Like Honey Bear's like, yeah, I like anime and horror films, and I just really appreciate that with like Janae and Indigo and Honey Bear, they're showing like the complexity of Black women. You know, they're not, none of them fit into like this stereotype as this one character to check off a diversity box token. You know what I mean?
God, yes. Like, this is what is so important for me is that very often on shows, there is only one or few people of color, and they're usually not main characters, and they're very one-dimensional, and we don't get to see the complexity of them, and they end up becoming stereotypes. And so here we go. We've got Betty that's given us multiple women of color. And so they get to be real people. They get to be people with varying interests and personalities and aesthetics. And I just find that super important. And I love that we get Honey Bear, who is tits out into anime, very quiet and shy, but also strong. And that's not who Indigo is, and that's not who Janae is. They're all different women.
Honey Bear says that she doesn't want to screw it up, and Ash says that she's not, and it's like we're watching like a soft poem on our screen between the two of them. And then Camille is skating with dudes, and I really enjoy the skate sequences. Like if you're really paying attention to the show, I think at first you can think like they're just like, oh, them skating, but really, their insights into like a character's mindset, and I really think it sets the scene. Like often it really establishes the emotions for a scene that's about to happen for a character, or it really like enhances the emotion that we've just seen from a character in a previous scene. It kind of just really depends on like how they're wanting to play with it, but you can kind of see here that Camille is lonely. Like, she's always trying to find these interactions with the dudes around her, but she's lonely.
You know, I didn't analyze this and gain any insight from that, but I'm sure you're right.
So then we have a Kurt with the girl from the park. And they're like flirting and talking about tattoos, and the girl has a lip tattoo, and Kurt uses that lip tattoo as a move to kiss her. And I was like, that's smooth. Way to go, Kurt. And then they're like gonna hook up and stuff, but Kurt like is like, I can't get into it, man. I'm really hung up on my friends right now. I can't let it go. And the girl's like, seriously, like you're not gonna hook up with me right now? And Kurt's like, what do you want me to say? I'm a loyal ass friend. Like,
That is some intense ass loyalty, Kurt, if you cannot have sex with a woman who is like right
and then
there.
she's like goes off. She's like, I'm hungry. And the girl's like, hello, like what are you doing? And she's like, do you have a popsicle? And just like opens her freezer. I'm like, what are you doing, man? But then she finds mushrooms. And the girl's like, you can have them if you'll eat me out right now. Thank you. So Kurt wins some mushrooms from this interaction. And then Janae is like skating some of her frustration out at what's been going on, and she sees Celia, Yvette's twin, and Janae is like, I promise I am not trying to stalk you. I just really want to talk to Yvette. I'm sorry for how things went down. We can meet wherever she wants. She can bring whoever she wants with her, but I want to actually hear her out. And then Indigo runs into Farouk and is like, I need more time to get the money. And Farouk is like, let me tell you, this is serious. Carl is serious. My foot is in a boot because of Carl. You have 48 hours to get his money for him, or it is gonna go down. And this is when like you always get this like foolishness from Farouk a little bit, but like this is the when you start to really realize, because you know he smacked his foot in the fucking car door.
I just love Farouk. And this is probably around the time that I was just like, I think you're full of shit, Farouk, with Carl, but okay.
And then this leads her to call the recruiter that she met earlier on in the season to see if they still need models for her to try to get the money. And then Kurt rolls up to the girls and is like, I come bearing gifts. I have some shrooms for all of us. And she's like, I know I need to make it right. So let's do drugs together.
That shit just made me laugh so fucking hard that Kurt is like racking her brain on trying to figure out how in the world to make amends with her friends. And she can't come up with anything other than sharing mushrooms.
But Janae is not having it. And she's like, drugs are not an apology, Kurt. I haven't heard I'm sorry come out of your mouth yet. And Kurt's like, I'm sorry for having your back and fighting the patriarchy. They're like, Kurt, throwing your skateboard through a window is not fighting the patriarchy. And they leave her with her mushrooms. I really like that they didn't just like give in because she's Kurt and she means well. They were like, no, you need to learn this lesson and apologize. And then Janae gets a text and asks Indigo and Honey Bear if they're wearing bras. And they go to a pool so Janae can talk to Yvette. And Honey Bear and Indigo watch on with Celia as Yvette and Janae are in the pool.
I just had to laugh at the scene because Honey Bear and Indigo are clearly in their bra and underwear. And I just think, I don't know, I guess it's not funny so much, but like it just made me think about like how aggravating it is when men sexualize women in their bra and underwear, and it's like literally what you would wear to go swimming. But I mean, I guess they objectify women in that clothing too. I guess my point is just I hate that women's clothing is so paid attention to.
And then Yvette is explaining what happened to Janae, and she's like, the worst part is I really like Donald. He took her to a party and she thought it was like their first date and she feels really stupid about that now, but a lot of people got really drunk at this party and so they ended up crashing and she passed out on the couch. And when she woke up, Donald had his hand in her pants. And when she called him out on that, he was like, oh, don't you like this? Like, and she thought it was weird and they just kind of went their separate ways. And the next time she saw him and confronted him about it, he said that she was sending him mixed signals and that she was crazy and reframed this whole situation onto her. And that's when she took it online and started commenting on their YouTube show. Like, I can't even express, like, how realistic this storyline is and, you know, how many people I've talked to that struggled to understand what happened to them, because when they had conversations after, they get gaslighted like this.
So, like, if Donald had just been a little bit less of a shitty dude, this probably would have just, like, fucking blown over. Like, Yvette was so confused by what happened because she liked Donald. They were dating. How many women experience things that are not blatantly sexual abuse, assault by someone that you're in a relationship with or dating? And you're like, wait, was that acceptable or was that not okay? And, like, if Donald had talked to her about it, she may have just moved on from it. And that's not to say that what he did was okay. But I'm thinking about the frustration and the aggravation that you have when you get gaslit like that, you know, where you're just like, wait, was this okay? Was this not okay? Like, I don't really know how I feel about it. And then to be told that you're blowing something out of proportion and you're crazy, like, that is so aggravating. And not just aggravating, I think really highlights the fact that what he did was not okay. Because had there not been bad intentions, I think that that could have been a conversation that you all could have worked through, but it's all kinds of shady and fucked up. I think very realistic how confusing it can be trying to decipher if something is acceptable or not acceptable with someone that you're dating.
Yeah, and I really liked this after part where Janae leaves with Honey Bear and Indigo and says that Yvette's telling the truth. And they ask her how she knows. And then she says he did the same thing to her. And I just found that pretty moving because we're showing so much nuance to this one situation. We're showing how, like, people are predators and, like, they don't just do things like this once. And we, it shows, like, the different effects of the gaslighting, you know what I mean? Whereas Yvette, like, really just wanted to understand the situation at first because she was into Donald and, like, tried to talk to him about it. But once he started, like, blaming her, she wanted to hold him accountable, right? Like, she wanted to really make sure that, like, he knew what he did was wrong. Whereas Janae internalized that and didn't really come to recognize what happened to her and just took that, like, appeasement and moved on, like you were saying before, you know what I mean? And I thought, like, this whole moment was just, like, incredibly powerful, not only by giving Yvette, like, this opportunity to really tell her story and giving, like, a survivor a moment to, like, share her truth where it was respected, but also to have Janae come to terms with something that happened to her that she clearly repressed for a long time is really interesting storytelling, especially because she is, like, best friends with Donald. Like, this isn't just, like, an easy stranger to blame. Like, these are hard conversations to have, and this happens to people. And people dismiss survivors if it's a stranger. They dismiss survivors if it's their friend. They dismiss survivors if it's their boyfriend. Like, and we're really getting into the nuances of the reality of experiences that people have.
I agree. I think that when I first started watching this and seeing Janae's reaction, I was really frustrated with her because I couldn't believe it. And then as we continue to explore over the course of the 6 episodes, I really got to see where she was coming from and what her situation was. And I think that is a much better story than I thought that they were pursuing. I also think, speaking to your point about, you know, when people are believed, or more so when they're not believed, with regards to Janae, like, her own situation, she maintained her friendship with Donald. It's taken her this long and it happening to someone else to be able to reflect on it and say, shit, I don't think that that was okay what happened to me. And I really appreciate the story that they are telling here.
Yeah, it really makes you appreciate them taking their time and telling the story over the whole season instead of just cramming it into one episode, because we're getting so much nuance to the storyline that you just don't really get a lot of the time. And I just have to give credit to the actress that plays Janae. I thought she did such a great job with the storyline. And that is where we leave off for episodes 3 and 4 of Betty. I hope you enjoyed it. Please link up with us on Twitter at This Lesbian Shit, on Instagram at This Lesbian Ship, and subscribe to us on iTunes, download our episodes, and rate and review us.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea by Maggie Takuda Hall and published by Candlewick Press is available now wherever books are sold.
This Lesbian Ship is Intense is a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.